Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's great to be home. We've been gone quite a while, and what a blessing it is to be able to come home and see all our brothers and sisters that we haven't seen for some time. We look forward to being here this morning. We're anxious to see everybody. It's, like I say, it's been a long time. Being gone a month, you don't realize it until you're gone. It's not that we wasn't with other brothers and sisters, but we miss you. And it's good to be home. Now, have you ever wondered what God expects of you? Think about that. Have you ever wondered what God expects from you? I'm sure that you have. I know I have. When I was thinking about this talk today, and I guess I apologize because I didn't get to put time in on this talk that I usually like to put time in on the talk. I found out Friday night I was talking today. So this is probably one of the shortest talks I've ever given, but I'll give you a few thoughts. I found out a lot of, also while I was going meeting with some other brethren, that it's not the length of the talk that counts. It's some of the thoughts that you bring up just to get a person thinking. What comes to me when I thought of this year, what God expects of us, and Brother Dan, yeah, I'm going to use the Old Testament. There's a verse of scripture over in the book of Exodus that I'd like to go to. It kind of gives us a clear picture of what God expected from His people. I remember, I don't know if it's the last time I gave a talk, but I remember after I finished talking, the reason I told Brother Dan, yeah, I'm going into the Old Testament, because a lot of times when I'm giving a talk, I like using the Old Testament and the New Testament, because I think there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that we can learn. Romans 15 chapter and 4th verse tells us that the things written aforetime was written for our learning. And that there's what's there. Yeah, there's some things in the Old Testament that we don't do anymore. The law that was given, the sacrifices that was they were supposed to keep. No, we don't keep them. But there's lessons there that we can learn, and all we have to do is take time to look at them. In the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, this chapter stands out to me. What happens in this 19th chapter? Someone tell me. What happens in the 19th chapter of Exodus? Yeah, the law. Moses has brought the children of Israel to Mount Sinai to receive the law from God. And I'd like to read just a couple of verses here. What was told Moses, the fifth verse says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel." One of the things that God expected from the children of Israel was He wanted that nation to be a kingdom of priests. Does that sound familiar to you? When you think of mutual edification today in the church, how God wants the church to build itself up, does that sound familiar to you? A kingdom of priests. we'll go back to this in a little bit. Another thing that stands out to me is what he says in the 10th verse. And he said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Says, and be ready on the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon the Mount Sinai." And of course, down the 14th verse says, "And Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes." What does it mean to sanctify? For what?
Set apart.
Exactly. To set apart. Sanctification. What does sanctification mean? Sanctify means to be set apart. Sanctification then, what does it mean? Separation. Separate to God. There's two things we see here in this year chapter. When we go thinking about what God expects from us, He expects us to be a kingdom of priests, and He expects us to separate ourselves to, I thank Mark for reading that there, 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. Think about how much God wanted His people to think about Him and put Him first in their lives. What did He say to they had to teach their children when they rise up, when they lay down, when they're sitting around, when they're walking away? Write them on their doorposts, put them on frontlets that's before their eyes. You see how much God wanted His people to think about Him? What does God expect from us then? Think about that for a minute. If He expected that from His people then, okay, let's go a little bit further. Over in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 19th chapter, the first couple of verses, says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregations of Israel, of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." You shall be holy, because I'm holy. That's what He expected of His children then. Let's go a little bit further over in the 20th chapter of the same book. The 7th verse. "Sanctify yourselves therefore," or in other words, set yourselves apart, "and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." Again, let's go on over to the 22nd chapter of the same book. The 32nd verse says, "Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among you, the children of Israel. I am the Lord who hallowed you." God wants them to be holy. He wants them to think about Him, put Him first in their lives. What's the first and greatest commandment we have now? To love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Does God expect us to put Him first in our lives now? Any less than what He expected them to do then? "Neither shall you profane my holy name, but you will be hallowed among the children of Israel." In other words, you shall be special. Says, "I am the Lord who made you special. I'm putting my own words there, but that's exactly what it means. He wanted them to be set apart, to be sanctified. And that's just a few verses in the Old Testament. Let's go over to the New Testament. 1 Peter, the first chapter, no, the second chapter. Remember the first thought that we talked about, that he wanted them to be a kingdom, a priest? What he says in this second chapter, in the ninth verse, he says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a people of his own, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You're a royal priesthood, he said. No different than what he wanted his people to be back over in the Old Testament. Let's look at another place, what John wrote in the Revelation letter, the first chapter. The sixth verse of the first chapter. "And he hath made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." This is what John wrote over in Revelation. He's made us a kingdom of priests. Like I say, does that sound familiar? Mutual ministry? Edifying and building ourselves up? Yeah. He don't expect no more from us today than what he did then. But he expects the same. Now let's look at the next thing. He wanted them to sanctify, set themselves apart. And the reason that, I guess, I think of this year, back over in the 19th chapter of Exodus, where he told them to sanctify the people and to make them wash their clothes to get ready. Because I'm coming down the third day. Now, you might say this year's a lot bigger. Why did he want them to wash their clothes? He wanted them to be clean. Does God want us to be clean today? Can we come before God unclean? Think about that. Let's look at what Paul wrote to the Thessalonian letter, the fourth chapter. First Thessalonians, yeah. The third verse. He says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Now think about that. Separated to God, this is your sanctification. "That ye should abstain from fornication." And of course now fornication is mentioned as one is sin. And so this is something that God wants us to stay away from. Remember what he said, "I want you to be holy, for I'm holy"? Before I go any further than that, back over in 1 Timothy, I just had a thought come to me. I think it is the first chapter. Yes. Yeah, the 15th and 16th verse says, But as he who hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Just as he told the children of Israel back over in the book of Leviticus, he's telling us today, in our manners of life, he wants us to be holy because he's holy. No difference. Now, going back again to the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, that your thought hit me, and I thought, I ain't going any further until I cover that. But in that third verse, he talks about that it's the will of God that they be sanctified, that they stay away from this. This is something God expects from us. Down in the seventh verse, it reads, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." This was a purpose. This is why God has called mankind. Not to uncleanness, but to holiness. Now, how do we learn this? We go back to the fourth verse. "That every one of you should know how to possess his vessels in sanctification and honor." It's God's will that we know this. We learn this from God. Now, how do we learn this? We go over to the 17th chapter of John. Yeah, the 17th and 18th verses. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." He said, set them apart by the truth. And what is the truth? His word. We learn what God wants us to be like, what He expects from us, from His word. Yeah, that puts a burden on us, don't it? You say, "Well, I don't like to read." Well, how are you going to learn about God if you don't read? How are you going to learn what God expects of you unless you read? Because this is His word. Now, how do we become sanctified? Everyone think about that there for a minute. How do we become sanctified? How do we set ourselves apart? And we know, when I thought of this year, I thought of Paul when he's before Agrippa, the 26th chapter of Acts, if you'd like to turn there. When he made his defense before King Agrippa, one of the things that he mentioned here, well, Christ, when he was talking to Saul as he was then, and one of the things he mentioned when he was before Agrippa, the 18th verse, he says, "To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me." Now we think, well, the scriptures talk about, well, we have to believe in God. And most certainly we have to believe in God. Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." We have to believe in God. We have to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that He died for us. But if we just take those few scriptures by themselves and say, well, faith is all we have to have, I think of Brother Art's class on Wednesday night. It's been about a year ago or maybe a year and a half ago. He talked about this very subject. And if we take that by itself, yeah, faith is all you have to have. But what else does the scriptures talk about? Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is what? Baptized shall be saved." Acts 2:38, what Peter told on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." So it's not just having faith, how we become sanctified, how we become separated. And we go back to thinking about again about the washing of the clothes. What is baptism? Going down into the water. I'm being raised up. Romans 6 and 4. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death. It's a going down into the water just like a burial and then coming up out of the water. And you think of them washing their clothes and making themselves clean. You see the likeness between the two? But we're cleansing our spiritual bodies then. But, of course, this is how we become sanctified. This is how we become set apart for God. But there's more to it than that. And there's so much to be said on this. Like I say, I'm only scratching the surface on what God expects from us. Let's turn our Bibles over to the book of Ephesians. Like I say, it's not just becoming separated, but it's what we do afterwards also. It's our Christian walk. And I think this fourth chapter of Ephesians, and I like to start with just about the 17th verse and read down through 29 probably. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feelings have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer." A Christian's walk. This is what God expects of us. He expects us to be a kingdom of priests. He expects us to separate ourselves, not be as the people of the world. It doesn't say that we don't or not associate with the people of the world, but we're to be a light that's set upon a hill, that our light shines. Like I say, there's a lot more to be said on this. I've just scratched the surface. I thank you for your time, and I hope that I presented a few thoughts that made us stop and think what God expects from us. Thank you.